Okay, so I want to thank all of you for coming. When I became rabbi, so they said that they, it says in my contract, I'm supposed to give a shiur once a week. So this is the first kiyum of my once a week shiur in Mount Sinai Jewish Center. And what I'd like to discuss with you is the practice that we have of blowing shofar during the month of Elul. It's an interesting practice, as we'll see, because both from the history of halacha perspective, how this minhag evolved is interesting, and there's certain communities that the minhag never evolved. In fact, in Sephardi communities, I believe the practice is that they don't really blow shofar after davening in Elul, they blow shofar at the end of Slichos. And then the Slichos, and even there in some communities they do blow shofar, in other communities they don't blow shofar. It's not standard, yet it's become standard among Ashkenazic Jewry that we do blow shofar during Elul. And the evolution, to use an expression that people sometimes don't like, the evolution of this minhag is interesting. And also, as we'll see the way it evolved, we'll also see some practical applications of different understandings of the minhag. So what is the source, right? When we have these minhag, and what's the source of the minhag, what's the earliest source? And the Tor, it's the third source that we have over here, the Tor quotes it from a Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. And we have the text of Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer in front of us. But just as, to tell you who's the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer is very unclear. It's attributed to the Tana, Rebbe Eliezer ben Horkinus. However, most scholars assume that the Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer is an 8th century Gaonic work. And it's called a Medrash, even though it's not what we usually call Medrash. On the Bar Ilan CD, it's found under Midrashim. But it's not really a Medrash. A standard Medrash goes through Psukim in the Torah and says, oh, this Pasuk means X and Y and Z, and we bring other Psukim that... Right? That's the way Medrash works. Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer goes through history. And it begins with Adam HaRishon and tells us lots of stories about Adam HaRishon, and it goes throughout the period that Klai Yisrael is in the Midbar, and it gives us all of the history of different time periods. That's what Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer does. So in Perek Mem He of this edition of Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, in other editions it's in Perek Mem Vav. This is the Hager edition. Michael Hager was a professor of Talmud in the Jewish Theological Seminary, and he put out an interesting addition, Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer. He also tried to support cremation instead of normal burial. That's one of the reasons I'm not so crazy about him. But in the Hager edition, Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, so Perek Mem Hei, he has the following quote. And this is the real source of the minhag to blow shofar in Elul. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Arba'im Yom Asa Moshe Bahar, Moshe Rabbeinu was up on Har Sinai for 40 days, Kore bedas mikra biyom, vishona bedas mikra balayla. During the day, he would learn the chumash, apparently, the first time. And at night, shona bedas mikra. At night, he would learn it a second time. Ula achar ba'im yom, lakach es haluchos v'yarad al hamachane. And after 40 days, he took the luchos and he ran down to the camp. Vishivasar Batamuz, this all happened on 17th of Tammuz, this we know from a mission in Tanis, Vishivar Saluchos. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the 17th of Tammuz, runs down with the Luchos, breaks them, Vaharagas Chote Yisrael, and then Asa Arba'im Yom B'machane, Ad Shesaref Es Ha'egel, V'chitato V'ofar, then he spent another 40 days until he burned the Egel, V'hichras Avodah Zarah Mi'Yisrael, V'hiskin Koshevet V'shev B'mkomo. So what happens is, we know the Luchos are broken on the 17th of Tammuz. Moshe Rabbeinu then spends 40 days until he burns the Egel, he destroys the Avodah Zarah, etc. Uber Rosh Chodesh Elol, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Alei Elai HaHara. On Rosh Chodesh Elol, God tells Moshe, Moshe, go up to the mountain. Ve'eviru Shofar B'machane. And they blew Shofar, Sharei Moshe Elol Lahar. They're blowing shofar that Moshe is going up on the mountain. Shelo yitu od achar avodah zarah. Remember, the first time Moshe went up to the mountain, what happened was people said, hey, how come he's not coming down on time? There's something wrong. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu, he died. And that's why they worshipped avodah zarah. So the second time Moshe goes up to the mountain, what they do is they blow shofar, and the blowing of shofar is there to remind the people that Moshe Rabbeinu, he's just up on the mountain. He's not gone. He's going to come back. And the Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer says, "V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu Nis'ala Ba'Osa Shofar Shenemar Ola Elokim Bisrua." Okay, and God is elevated through that shofar. So what happens is Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain for the second time on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and they blow shofar in order to show that Moshe is up on the mountain and he's not completely gone. And people, don't build another eagle, don't get into Avodah Zarah again. So they blow the shofar. And based on this, look at the Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, his text that we have. V'chein hiskinu chachamim, and I underlined it to make it easier, sheyiyu tokim b'shofar b'rosh chodesh Tishrei. Right? Now, what's the problem? What? We're talking about, he goes up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and based on the fact that he went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, so Chachamim institute that they blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. What is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, by the way? It's Rosh Hashanah. We blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei anyway. You don't need a special enactment of the Chachamim to blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei in order not to stumble after Avodah Zarah again. So this text is completely corrupt. It doesn't really read straight. The Rishonim took this text of the Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer and they amended it. They said, oh, based on this, obviously Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is a mistake. So therefore they changed the text from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei to be Rosh Chodesh, thank you, to be Rosh Chodesh Elul. So you change the text to be Rosh Chodesh Elul instead of Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Okay, so now what we have is a source of the minhag that they are blowing shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Does it say that they're blowing shofar the entire month of Elul? Only on Rosh Chodesh. The original source of the minhag to blow shofar throughout the month of Elul is based on a Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, which doesn't even say Rosh Chodesh Elul, but you amend the text, and then it says Rosh Chodesh Elul, so they blew shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So far, so good. Now, what happens next stage in Halacha? The Sefer HaManhig. The Sefer HaManhig is a Rishon who came from Provence. His name was Rav Avram Hayarchi. Hayarchi means he came from the town of Lunel, because Yareach is like lunar, moon. So the Rav Avram Hayarchi in the Sefer HaManhig, he tells us the different minhagim, and he was sensitive to the fact that there are different Jewish communities, and different communities had different minhagim. So he tells us that minhag tsarfas, the minhag in France, is lahaskom Rosh Chodesh Elul ve'elach letkoa b'chol yom. Now he tells us that minhag in France is that they blow from Rosh Chodesh Elul on. Now, his job is also to tell us what's the source of the minhag. So he says, I don't know the real source. V'yesh li smach ledavar. What does a smach mean? A bit of a hint. Kind of a little indication. There's no real proof to this, but there's a bit of an indication in the Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer that we saw earlier, where he has Rosh Chodesh Elul, God tells Moshe, go up to the mountain, etc. And they blew the shofar Rosh Chodesh Elul in order to tell people not to do Avodah Zarah. And God is elevated somehow through the shofar because there's no Avodah Zarah. L'chein hiskinu l'tkoa b'Rosh Chodesh Elul b'chol shana v'shana. Therefore, the rabbis made a practice, based on this story in the Pirkei D'Rabbi Eliezer, that they blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul every year. V'hatzar fasim osim af misham ve'elach. So the practice in Tsarfas, the practice in France, is that they extended this idea. Right? The idea originally is that they are only blowing shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul, and the practice in France is that they extend it beyond Rosh Chodesh Elul to the entire month. And this is the minhag in France. In other communities, the minhag was not as accepted. Apparently, in other communities, they are only blowing shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. They were not blowing shofar throughout the month of Elul. Okay, this is the earlier stages of Halacha. Then the Tor comes along. And the Tor...
So
We do not know why they are blowing shofar throughout the month of Elul. That's correct. We have no idea. But the practice developed, right? It's clear, right? There's a clear evolution of halacha. They used to blow only in Rosh Chodesh, and then they start blowing throughout the month. We're not sure why. The Tur, interestingly, decided to further change the girsa, to change the text in the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, right? And he has the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer saying, if you go to the second line of the Tur, L'chein hiskinu chazal, shiu tokim b'Rosh Chodesh elo b'chol shana v'shana v'chol hachodesh. The Tur says that, oh, well, we see that they're blowing the entire month. Why are they blowing the entire month? Based on the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, this is the source. The Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer doesn't really say it, so you know what you do? You take out your pen, and now you'll make it say it. So you add that the rabbis instituted that they're supposed to blow the entire month. But there's a problem. Because you can't institute that they're supposed to blow shofar the entire month based on the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, because the only source here is that they're supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh. Remember, they're blowing shofar because Moshe goes up to the mountain, and there's a concern, since he's going up the second time on Rosh Chodesh Elul, there's a concern that since the first time he went up, the Jews ended up making the Egel. So to remind people not to serve Avodah Zarah, they blow shofar. Right? Moshe's still there, he's just up on top of the mountain. Right? So far so good, but you can't say that that's why you blow the entire month. Very difficult, but he says, well, v'chol hachodesh, he throws it in. It doesn't really make sense, so he adds a few words. Kedei lahazhir Yisrael sheyasu teshuva. He throws in, well, you know what? They're blowing the entire month in order to tell people, to remind people to do teshuva. Shenemar in yitaka shofar be'ir, if the shofar is blown in the city. Then he also adds the reason, which I completely don't understand. If anyone has ever heard a shir about this, please tell me. He adds also, Kedei la'arbev ha-satan, this idea that we blow shofar and elon, that somehow mixes up the satan, right? That the Satan gets confused because, well, we're blowing shofar and he's not going to know when Rosh Hashanah is, right? Isn't that what they tell you in grade school? I completely don't understand this, but okay, we'll do the best we can. So these are the minhagim that the Tur quotes. And then the Tur adds also something very interesting. The last line, V'chein nohagin ba'ashkenaz, now it's no longer only in Tsarfas. Tsarfas is France. He says the practice now in Germany is, L'tkoa b'chol boker v'erev achar hatfila, that they blow shofar morning and night. Right? Did anyone ever see people blow shofar at night? Not done. But it says in Shulchan Aruch, in the Ramah actually, that we blow shofar in the morning and at night. But we don't do that. So that's something else, just to file away, and we'll get back to it later. Okay, so why is it that we blow shofar all month of Elul? It's not really clear, right? We have a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, they're extending it somehow, and we throw this added idea of tshuva in, even though it doesn't say it in the text. Skip a source. Go to the Sefer HaRokeach. The Sefer HaRokeach is Rabbi Elazar of Germaiza, who is a representative of the school of Hasidei Ashkenaz. The Hasidei Ashkenaz were this kind of aberration in Jewish history of people who tried to be machmir for everything, and they had lots of interesting ideas that somehow made it into mainstream Judaism, and no one's exactly sure why, but that's the Sefer HaRokeach is part of this group of Hasidei Ashkenaz. So Sefer HaRokeach, at the end of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, says, L'malo kasov, that token b'shofar, mei Rosh Chodesh Elol. They blow shofar, and he doesn't say that they blow shofar only on Rosh Chodesh, they blow shofar from Rosh Chodesh and onward. But look at his practice. Ki chein hiskinu sheyuhu token mem yom ad yom ha-kippurim. They blow shofar from Rosh Chodesh Elol until Yom Kippur. Al shem mem yom achronim sha'ala Moshe la'morom. This already makes some sense. If the source of blowing shofar is to remind people that Moshe is up in the mountain, and therefore don't do Avodah Zarah, don't think he's not coming back, so says the Sefer Rokeach, they didn't just blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elol, rather they blew shofar every single day that Moshe is up on the mountain, for all 40 days. Now, this is already, we're getting a sense where this is going. Every day that Moshe's on the mountain, they're blowing shofar. Right? And then he says, "Ubazah hamalchus ein tokim ki'im ad rosh hashanah." In our country, in the Rokeach is in Germany, they only blow until Rosh Hashanah. Which means what the Rokeach is doing, he's saying, oh, the real source is the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Right? That's why we blow, because of Moshe Rabbeinu being up on top of the mountain. And in theory, we should be blowing the entire time until Yom HaKippurim. But we don't. We only blow until Rosh Hashanah. So far, so good? Good. So until now, we have one basic source of blowing shofar, which comes from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and it's based on the story with Moshe Rabbeinu, and in theory, I guess, either we should blow only on Rosh Chodesh Elul, or we should blow the entire time until Yom HaKippurim, and somehow there's this strange compromise that happened, that we blow until Rosh Hashanah, and after Rosh Hashanah, we stop blowing. There's another source, though, about blowing shofar during the month of Elul, which comes from the Sefer HaMinhagim of Rabbi Isaac of Tirna. This is in the 15th century. There was a whole bunch of students of the Maharil. The Maharil is like the father of Ashkenazi Minhagim. And the Maharil was also a great Baal Tefillah, apparently. He was a chazan, and he davened on Yamim Narayim. And it says in Shulchan Aruch that many of the tunes that we sing in Yamim Narayim are the Maharil's tunes. That's what they tell you. That's why they tell you that traditionally you're not supposed to sing these tunes throughout the year, because I don't know if Sephardim have such a tradition, do they? No. But they claim that the Maharil had like some Ruach HaKodesh, and he knew which tunes to sing, that some of them were based on what they sang in the Beis HaMikdash. This is what they teach you in Chazanah school. What can you do? Okay, so now, the Minhagim of Rabbi Isaac of Tirna has a completely different take on this practice of blowing shofar during Elul. Rabbi Isaac of Tirna writes like this: Minhag kosher letkoa me rosh chodesh Elul ad zechor bris shehu erev rosh hashanah. It's a good idea to blow shofar. It's a minhag kosher to blow shofar from rosh chodesh Elul until we say the slichos is zechor bris, the slichos before Rosh Hashanah. Va'oz mafsikin milas koa. Then we stop for a day, right? That's our practice, that we don't blow shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah. We stop for a day, and we resume blowing on Rosh Hashanah itself. Zehu lamig yom, for a total of 30 days of blowing shofar. Usmach lozeh, tiku b'chodesh shofar. The pasuk in Tehillim says, blow shofar b'chodesh. And what's chodesh? So he understands it means a month. Blow 1 month worth of shofar. Mashma chodesh shalem shehu lamig yom. So the Sefer Minhagim of Rabbi Isaac of Tirna tells us something very, very interesting. He tells us that the blowing of the shofar that we do is really supposed to be 30 days of shofar blowing. Why? Because tiku b'chodesh shofar. There's a special halacha, a special pasuk, tells you to blow shofar for a full month. Now, I always was brought up thinking that when we blow shofar during Elul, why are we doing it? But to remind us to do teshuva, to help prepare us for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Isn't that like the standard thing that they teach you? Now, maybe that's what was going on in the tour. Maybe that's based on the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. It's somehow to remove us from Avodah Zarah is part of the process. I don't know where that fits in. Right? This is certainly not what they taught me in grade school. But what Rabbi Isaac of Tirna is saying is very interesting. He's saying that the blowing of the shofar in Elul apparently is not just preparation for Rosh Hashanah. Rather, it's connected to Elul itself. The month of Elul is a month of shofar blowing. Tiku b'chodesh shofar. Blow shofar for a complete month, and that's the month of Elul. He's not saying that there's a connection to Rosh Hashanah. He's saying that we should blow shofar during Elul itself. Yeah. Maybe I could say that. I mean, you're saying, like, why choose this month of Elul?
I mean,
if not for the fact that it's right before Rosh Hashanah.
If it says in Tehillim, my guess would be that the reason why...
Right. You know, I hear that, but you get the impression from what he's saying that it's not just preparation for Rosh Hashanah. That there is something more to it. That there's something about Elul that has shofar that's connected with it.
Well, it's not necessarily preparation for Rosh Hashanah, but the fact that the months and the...
It happens that this is the month, but right. Obviously, I can't divorce shofar from Rosh Hashanah. That I'll agree with you. Right? You definitely can't divorce the two. But at the same time, you know, this is striking to me because he's not saying what I'm accustomed to. He's saying something that's very, very different. Now, whether or not there is such a position out there that the blowing of the shofar is linked to Elul absent of Rosh Hashanah, which it might be certainly if I take the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer at face value. Right? Because Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is saying that I blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. And if I take the Rokeach's version of it, I'm blowing shofar, why? To prevent people from Avodah Zarah at a time that... To prevent people from Avodah Zarah? No, when Moshe's up on the mountain. That has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Right? So, certainly, I think in the original, earliest forms of this minhag, it had nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. Reb Isaac of Tirana, you're probably right, is closer to my understanding that's preparing us for Rosh Hashanah, but even he may not be saying it. So this kind of leads us in an interesting sort of place. We have this question, is blowing of shofar in Elul, is it somehow an extension of the blowing on Rosh Hashanah, or is it a new practice unrelated to Rosh Hashanah? And this is a question that I think is worth analyzing every time you have a minhag. You have to figure out, is the minhag an extension or a creation? This is, who wrote that book? Rabbi Adler wrote a book called, like, Lomdus, and he gives you all these terms to use. So extension and creation is like his first breakdown. So what is it? Is it extending and blowing on Rosh Hashanah, or is it a new mitzvah somehow linked to Elul or linked to... Not Elul itself, but linked to Avodah Zarah, but has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah per se. And there should be certain halachic nafgaminas, certain implications that we could derive based on whether we understand that it's linked to Elul, or I should say linked to Rosh Hashanah, or not linked to Rosh Hashanah. Correct? Is that? That's the structure that I want to work with you for a few minutes. Okay, question. Question is like this. The practice to blow shofar in Elul. Let's say we blow in shofar in Shul during Elul, correct? Let's say someone doesn't go to Shul, God forbid, one morning. It should never happen to anyone, but someone misses Shul one morning. So what happens? Are you supposed to blow shofar at home? I don't think you have to. I don't know of anyone who ever has done this, although actually as a kid... My mother used to, like, ask me to blow shofar for her in the morning, like, because she always felt that it inspired her to get her in the mood. What? Everyone blows shofar at home. So, I mean, some people do it, but, like, do you have to do it? Is it something that you're supposed to do? It's not like an obligation. So the question is, and this is a question that is discussed in some of the later poskim, I give you on the sources a tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer. It's the last source that I give you. Rabbi Waldenberg, he just passed away this past year, the Tzitz Eliezer. So he has a tshuva where he discusses this. And the question that he deals with is whether the blowing of shofar, is it what we call a chovas hatzibur, is it a communal obligation, or is it an individual obligation? That's the way he frames the question, which is really exactly what we're asking. So he says, well, there was a fellow, Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank. Now, not the famous Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank. The famous Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank was a student of Rav Kook, who also was a member of the Badatzeh de Charedis. He was one of these few people who actually crossed lines. He was one of the people who was present when Rav Kook died. Rav Kook only invited a limited group of his students to be with him, B'shas Yitzias Neshama, so one of them was Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank. But this is a different Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, who I believe is like a grandson of the other Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank. And Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank, there's a tshuva that's written in 1974. Rabbi Tzvi Pesach Frank wanted to argue that the obligation to blow shofar during Elul is a chovas hayochid. It's an individual obligation. He had a proof from a Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says that, we're not supposed to blow shofar in Erev Rosh Hashanah. Am I allowed to practice if I'm the Baal Tokeya? Right. So the Magen Avraham says, well, you could go into a private, quiet room, lock all the doors and windows, and blow shofar to practice. So the question is, why does the Magen Avraham have to make such a big deal about this? If the obligation to blow shofar is only a communal obligation, so that means if I do an individual thing, that's not the issue of blowing shofar at all. So what's the big deal? So blow shofar... Right? Blow shofar as an individual. Why do you have to make this whole big hubbaloo about it? So, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, well, you see that it's an individual obligation.
So, how would going into a secluded room...
Well, going into a secluded room and closing the doors, that way the satan doesn't see you.
What I'm saying, aren't you still fulfilling the
So he says, well, if you do it in a way specifically not to fulfill the chiyuv, that's exactly the point that Magen Avraham wants to drive home. That you would think it's an individual chiyuv, and therefore you can't do that. The answer is that no, if you have in mind not to fulfill that individual chiyuv, that's good enough.
So you're showing they have in mind they're going to
exclude. Right, that type of idea. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about, I don't know the proof, I don't understand any of this. But he writes, interestingly, look at this paragraph that begins, Ulam. It's towards the bottom of the page, the last full paragraph. Ulam le'etzam ha'she'ela, hinei me'olam lo shamanu b'kezol shemishu afilo me'hamedaktikim b'yoseir yahader b'chodesh elok shemispalo le'es atzor b'yechidus she'aviyu shofar letkoa lefanav kedei lekayim ha'takana letkoa b'chodesh elok. We never heard of even the most Orthodox Jews, the most religious people who are wearing not only Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin but Shimusha Rabba Tefillin, also people who are machmir on everything, right? We never heard of anyone who asked for a shofar to be brought to him or her to blow during the month of Elul. V'Yisraelim einam neviim heim, they are b'nei neviim, that's a common expression. V'tamid kishedavar mesupak lanu aminam pukhazi me'amad debar, whenever we have a question, whenever we're uncertain about something, we have a halachic principle that we look at what people do. Al-Kain, he says, nirali barur li'idach gisa. He says, it seems to me the opposite way. Shatakanas hatakiyah haisa rak b'tzibor v'lo b'yachid. The reason why you blow is only in the tzibor, not b'yachid. U'mitayma d'chod takinu me'en ha'ma'ora teknu. Whenever they institute something, they institute it based on the original source. V'takonas hatkiyah harei haisa mipnei shekocha esnagu b'shosh olamosh alahar b'rosh chodesh elol v'shama kosov mefurash avhiru shofar b'machane moshe ala bahar. He says, listen, the original shofar that was blown during Elol is blown because Moshe went up to the mountain. Then the Torah says, havhiru shofar b'machane, that they blow shofar in the entire camp. That means this is a public occurrence. Oh, well, if it's a public occurrence, ubamachana, that means betzibur, not biyachid. So therefore, there's no individual obligation. V'gam l'tayma, and even according to the reason, that's because of tshuva. He says that maybe tshuva is done more betzibur than biyachid, im yitakasho farba ir, v'ha'am lo yecharadu. Ir implies a community. It implies a whole group. So what the Tzitz Eliezer is arguing is that the blowing of the shofar during Elul is a communal obligation, not an individual obligation. And his proof is from the original source of the minhag, the Pirkei de Eliezer, that it's a communal thing, hevi shofar b'machane. Now that itself would seem to indicate that the blowing of the shofar is not an extension of the blowing on Rosh Hashanah. Because on Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah shofar is an individual obligation. Even a person doesn't daven with a minyan on Rosh Hashanah, he has to blow shofar. Correct? So, the fact that we are saying that it's a communal obligation would seem to indicate that it's unconnected to blowing on Rosh Hashanah. Again, this is only striking to me because it goes against what I grew up thinking. Let's continue. A few other quick discussions. There is a sefer called the Shevet HaKohasi. It's a book of tshuvos that's written by the Belzer Dayan today in Israel. Reb Shammai Kohos Gross, his name is. So in the Shevet HaKohasi, he has a discussion about whether during Elul you're allowed to blow shofar with a pasul shofar. Okay, same question, no? If the mitzvah shofar is modeled after shofar on Rosh Hashanah, obviously you need a type of shofar that's kosher for Rosh Hashanah. But if the shofar of Elul is a shofar only in order to remind us not to do Avodah Zarah, right? By the way, that's a good thing. Just don't do Avodah Zarah. And the shofar is to remind us not to do Avodah Zarah, so who says you need a kosher shofar for that? He also discusses whether a katan can blow the shofar, or someone who's not yet bar mitzvah. All of these things seem to go in the same direction. It seems to me that this might be the pshat in what we saw in the Torah a few minutes ago. We noted that the Torah is very strange. He says that the practices that they blow during the day and at night. And why are they blowing at night? Why on earth are you blowing shofar at night? You never blow shofar at night. The Mishnah Megillah tells us that the mitzvah shofar is only during the day. There's no mitzvah shofar at night. So why are they blowing at night? I think, again, it's all the same idea. Because we want to indicate that this blowing of shofar during Elul is not real shofar. The blowing of shofar during Elul is not an extension of the Rosh Hashanah blowing. Rather, blowing of shofar during Elul is in order to remind us not to do Avodah Zarah. It's connected to Elul as Elul. It's not connected to Rosh Hashanah in any sort of way. Right, I think so. I think that's correct. Now, it happens that Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Tshuva is very funny. Did I give it to you? Oh, I did. Okay. Right, so in this Tshuva in Simin, in Orachayim Chayakta, Simin Chaf Aleph, Rav Moshe discusses when the Rambam says that we blow shofar at night. So do you really do it? Rav Moshe says, I never saw it. So he says, obviously the Rambam doesn't mean at night because you can't blow shofar at night. Because the mitzvah shofar is never at night, so he means mincha time. Because mincha is still during the day, and that's the time that's kosher to blow shofar. Okay, his question that Rav Moshe dealt with is, let's say there was a minyan that didn't blow shofar at shacharis for whatever the reason. Should they blow it at Ma'ariv like it says in the Rambam? So Rav Moshe says, no. You only blow by shacharis or by mincha, definitely not by Ma'ariv. It's a little bit interesting that he says this because, according to our analysis, Ma'ariv makes perfect sense because they specifically would blow at night to show that it's not the normal shofar blowing. Let's talk about one or two other points that just come up. The Bach. Okay, the Bach I give you on the bottom of the first page. What sounds of shofar do we blow during Elul? After davening. So we blow tekiah, shvarim, trua, tekiah. Right? We don't go through the full set. We don't go Tekiya, Shvarim Tekiya, Tekiya, Trua Tekiya, Tekiya, Shvarim, Trua Tekiya. Right? We don't blow 10 sounds. We blow what we would call 4 sounds. So why do we do this? Now we know that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that Reb Abba of Kisrin instituted that we're not sure about what a Shvarim sound is supposed to be. Is it supposed to be crying or wailing? Right? So therefore we do all of them. So says the Bach, if we do all of them because we want to get the mitzvah of shofar, that's what we do in Rosh Hashanah, right? We blow tashat and tarat and tashrat. We blow all the sounds. So the Bach comments, ulefize, two lines on the bottom of the page, kol tekiot, after kol chodesh elol, lo yiske ube pachos, ela kaseder hazeh. He says that all of the tekiyos that you should blow, this would add on like an extra minute to davening every day, would be tashrat, tashat, tarat. You blow the full set. Then he says, v'lo nohagu kein. But this is not the practice, right? In theory, the Bach says that we should blow a complete shofar blowing. But that's not the practice. And then he says, well, maybe it's because v'efsher del rabbeinu tam, the tikein tashrat, ein lochosh afim yitzko tashrat levad. Rabbeinu Tam had this funny idea, Tosos quote, that kol acher ino mafsik. If I blow the wrong sound, nothing happens. So Rabbeinu Tam says, you don't have to blow tashrat, tashat, tarat. You could just blow tashrats. What's the big deal? Maybe the sound is really trua? Okay, so the sound's really trua, so the shvarim is just a kol acher, it's an extra sound. An extra sound ino mafsik. You have an extra sound that doesn't mess up the whole sequence. Right, if it's just shvarim is the correct sound, so then the trua sound doesn't mess anything up. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. So the Bach tells us, well, the fact that we blow tashrat indicates that we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, really. The fact that during Elul, all we blow is tekiya, shvarim, trua, tekiya, we don't blow the full sequence, says that we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, the kol acher ein lo mafsik. That's what the Bach tells us. Very interesting. I think we could say very differently. We could say no. Maybe our practice to blow tashrat during Elul, only tashrat, is to show that the tekiyos during Elul are not the same tekiyos as Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah we blow all the sounds, but the tekiyos during Elul are not because we want to get in the Rosh Hashanah sort of mood. It's just because we want to separate from Avodah Zarah somehow. Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever happened up on Har Sinai. So, therefore, maybe that's precisely why we blow tashrat rather than all the sounds. I don't think you want to say that we conclude that we hold like Rabbeinu Tam. I don't know if we're forced into that position. We could disagree with the Bach.
I'm not sure I understand Rabbeinu Tam's position, though. Wouldn't you have to do three tashrats then?
Yeah, so you'd have to do three tashrats, or at least one tashrat. Three is only because the Torah says by Rosh Hashanah three different times. But if it's not Rosh Hashanah, so maybe one is enough, just to get us in the Rosh Hashanah mood.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I mean, everyone acknowledges that Elul is not Rosh Hashanah yet. Good. So we have a number of applications about whether it seems from the sources that the tekiyos during Elul are not based on Rosh Hashanah. Rather, it's based on something very different. Good. Now, the tekiyos during Elul, I think, are linked to Elul, right? Not linked to Rosh Hashanah. That's what we've been trying to demonstrate. But there are still two possibilities in the Minhag Sfarim, what it's based on. Is it based on this idea of Moshe Rabbeinu being on the mountain? Or do we hold like the Minhag of Rabbi Isaac of Tirna, that you're supposed to blow for 30 days. Tiku b'chol de shofar, blow shofar for a full month. Just as an interesting aside, this last question about whether it's based on what Isaac of Tirna said to blow shofar for a month, or whether it's based on Moshe Rabbeinu being on top of the mountain, this last question has an application about whether we blow shofar starting the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul or the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul. Because remember, the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul is really the last day of Av. So now, if the blowing of shofar is because we're supposed to have 40 days representing Moshe Rabbeinu being on the mountain for 40 days, so if I have 40 days on the mountain and he's coming down in Yom Kippur, that means that we're starting the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, the 29th day of Av. What? Then it's not really Elul. Then it's... Exactly. However, if you want to have 30 days of shofar blowing, and the 30 days of shofar blowing includes the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which means it's 28 days, and the month of Elul is really 29 days, but we don't blow the last day of Elul. So then you start from the first day of Elul, which is what we call the second day of Rosh Chodesh. So according to Rabbi Isaac of Tirna, you should start from the second day of Rosh Chodesh. But according to the Minhag that is in the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that's based on Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, you should start from the first day of Rosh Chodesh. And this is a point that the Magen Avraham makes. Magen Avraham says, Chasav HaChochma Shlomo Levosh, U'masas Binyamin U'shla, that you're supposed to blow from the first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, because that is 40 days before Yom HaKippurim, like Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain. And V'chein kasav matem Moshe b'shem maharil. V'kasav danohagin lahasko b'yom sheni, those who blow from the second day of Rosh Chodesh Elul, tamayu l'tko alamid yom im beiz yomim. They are using the other reason, the reason to blow 30 days in total. Okay, so what we tried to do tonight is analyze the minhag of blowing shofar during Elul. I find this very interesting that our minhag to blow the entire month doesn't really come from the original sources. Right? Somehow it evolved. The original sources that they only blew on Rosh Chodesh. And then we tried to show how what this seems to indicate is that the blowing during Elul is not connected to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore there should be that whole slew of nafgaminos in terms of a katan, and in terms of whether it's an individual obligation or communal obligation. And lastly, we showed how the Magen Avraham shows that the two different sources of this practice have a practical application in terms of whether we begin the first day of Rosh Chodesh or the second day. Okay? So thank you very much for coming.